I think most of us are becoming more and more aware that the world is becoming darker and darker around us. Those of us who are in our 50s and 60s, we remember a time where you were actually singing religious songs in school. They were praying in school. We had assemblies where people would come in and talk about the Lord and talk about the various aspects of the relationship we have with God. And, of course, those days are gone. Matter of fact, there's a militant disrespect of God. There is a desire to, I think, eradicate him from the minds of people. And we're going to be influenced by that. And so I wanted to talk a little bit this evening about the light and the darkness. And those who are walking in the light are described here. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and divine nature, so that they are without excuse. I don't know about you, I've always known there's a God. I've always understood that God created the heavens and the earth. I've always had a relationship, not always a good one, but I've always known he was there, and I've always tried to do the things that would be pleasing to him. And I think that many people are like that. But that's not what we're seeing in the culture today. And because of that, the normal way to see the material creation, the way we've seen the material creation since the beginning of this nation, as God's creation, and this nation as a part of God's sovereign rule and a desire to set up laws that would please him. So as you read this verse, since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we still firmly in that light? As the lesson proceeds, we're going to talk about how the culture and especially science has tried to get God out of his creation. They want to talk about Mother Nature. They want to talk about things as though they're natural, as though they just happened. And many people who have accepted that have gone right off into the darkness. And that's our next point. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The creation myths of those who do not accept God are fascinating. If you go back and look at how Babylon taught their children about how the world came into being, because you have to have an answer for that, and you go to Greece or you go to Assyria or Rome, and you see that there's always something competing with God, allowing these people, as it says here, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form. And of course, they had corruptible man. We have a different image. We have an image that has been crafted from evolution where God is not replaced at all. We have exchanged the truth of God for Mother Nature. We have exchanged the truth of God for evolution and placed ourselves into the position of being the people who are self-made. We don't need God. We didn't have God. God didn't make this. We have done what we have done with this, and we want to go on with that. And then there's the realm of what I'm going to call this evening spiritual atrophy, which is where our strength begins to be sapped. It often happens to people when they suffer a stroke or they break a bone and they can't use their body anymore. And pretty soon the muscles start to shrink and they can no longer function the way they used to function. And I believe that's what this is doing to a lot of Christians. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God, nor were thankful. And I want to call that this evening twilight. because it's the realm between the light and the darkness. And we can either be brought back from the darkness into the light, or from the twilight into the light, or those people who are in the darkness, who are actually in the twilight and can be brought from the darkness back into the light. So that's essentially what we want to talk about. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So gratitude is fading. His glory is diminished. It's getting harder and harder to see and hear him. We have one of our songs. I'll quote it in a little bit. He speaks to me everywhere. That's how people in the light look at life. They see God in everything. They see him in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they thank him because they see him in the sun, the moon, and the stars. They glorify him as God because of the material creation. They glorify him as God because God created electricity and natural gas and oil and uranium and all of these things for us to utilize. And he created all the metals and all of the elements. And it's only because of his glorious power and our being created in his image and likeness that we have any of these things. So when I'm using a computer, God is speaking to me. I can see him in the computer. I can see him in the microwave. I can see him in every appliance. And I'm grateful to him. It doesn't make me feel like there is no God. But it does to a lot of people. And what I would like to develop in this lesson is, where are we in this? Are we in the twilight? Are we firmly in the light? Are we still thanking God and praising God and glorifying God and manifesting to our God that our faith and our commitment to him is as firm and as strong as it's ever been? But it's a realm of possible return. Most people who are so deeply in the darkness that they no longer even believe in God and can no longer even see God, when you try to bring the gospel to them, it doesn't open up their hearts. Paul found this a lot. When Paul went out among the Gentiles, he didn't find a ready reception with everyone, but here's what he said to some of them. You should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Those of us who are in the light, that's where we are. He has witness. Every good thing that God has done for us, we're grateful to him. We glorify him. He didn't leave himself without witness. He did good. He gave us rain. He gave us fruitful seasons. That leads us and remain, or helps us to remain in the light. And those people that he's talking to here are in the darkness. These are Gentiles who are about to try to offer sacrifice to him and Barnabas because they think the gods have come down in the likeness of man. And Paul is trying to stop them and help them so that they don't do that. But as far as he was concerned, some of these people were still reachable. These are the ones who see the witness and the good he's doing. They give God thanks and glory, though just dimly. That was me before I became a Christian. That might have been some of you before you became a Christian. And then God gave us the path back to the light. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. You have to close your eyes and close your mind. You have to replace God with Mother Nature and somehow think that it's as a result of Mother Nature, which they really don't describe what it is, but it is the natural order of things that somehow came into being, and somehow, even though Mother Nature is not a god, and yet she is the one who is taking the glory and the praise and the dominion from God and putting it where? That's the fascinating thing about evolution and about the philosophy and attitude we have in our culture, is that there's a vacuum there. At least the other nations had some kind of a God who was doing something, because that's the only way we can really adequately explain, but they tell us it just blew up into existence. But in the realm of evangelism, these are our best witnesses, returning the glory of God into their hearts and our hearts. So think about this verse and how you feel about it. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they exist and were created. You know, we might put side by side, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you think about what we've discovered over the last 20 years about DNA, when you think about what we've discovered about anatomy and physiology and about how the chemistry and the electrical impulses working in the human body to cause the heart to beat and to cause the brain to be able to function and for the nerves to send information to the brain and the brain to send it to the nerves, it is so complicated and so amazingly working properly. It's not possible to replace God with an idol or with nothing, because that's really what our culture is trying to do. We're trying to replace God with nothing. It's all by chance. Just happened. So, where are we? Since the creation of the world, his indivisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. When you get up in the morning and you start glorifying God, because of the beauty of this world? Or is it noon before we finally get around to thinking about God? Is it something we wake up with? Is it something we have to be reminded of later and later in the day? Those who are in the light, God is in their mind when they wake up. He's in their mind all day. They thank him for food. They thank him for everything. They look to him for their needs, as we talked about this morning, praying always, giving thanks for everything. If this is vibrant and clear, then we're in the light. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. So I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, and skies and seas, that your hand has wrought. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Now, as I say, I've extended that because I've decided that even in my home, sometimes I don't go out. Sometimes you don't go out. We don't see the material creation. We're in our home. But every piece of technology that we have is just like this, because God created it. It is his. It is his power sources. It is his metal. It is his chemistry and physiology and physics. It is his ability to make us in his image and likeness. That's why we can do all these things. So this is my Father's world. You know, and it sounds silly, but in the microwave, in the coffee maker, in the dishwasher, in the furnace, in the air conditioner, I see him. And I thank him for those things. And they draw me closer to him. And we really need to do that, brethren, because that's taking more and more of our lives. It amazes me when I go to Malawi and we don't have any of those things, how much more what's outside has an impact on you. You actually see the moon in its phases. I never see that. I never even noticed it until I started going to Malawi. But you could see how the moon gets smaller and smaller. You say, what's the matter with you? Oh, well, I live my life in a house. And a lot of Americans do. So those who are still firmly in the light, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, my power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Now, we can make melody with that. This can keep us firmly cemented to Him, in the light, seeing the truth, and looking past all of the foolish sophistry and the foolish human wisdom that has led so many away. Evangelism used to be so much easier when the world was giving the glory to God, which is a very unusual situation. You don't see this many times in the history of the world, but we had it for about 200 years or 200 or more years, where the children in the schools were seeing God. The culture was helping them along the way. Not anymore. So are we still firmly in the light? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits or blessings. Who forgives you all your iniquities? Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? I see the medical realm in the same way. I see God in all the medicines. I see God in all the surgical procedures. I see God in all of the wisdom that man has been able to amass on how to deal with man's various ailments. And I thank God that He has given us these abilities. And it's amazing that we've reached this point. And I just plug God right into all of this. I see Him in this. And I thank Him, and I do what this man is saying. And that's what all of us should be doing, because that's what people in the light are doing. And this psalm is just perfect to counteract what's going on in our world today. It isn't Mother Nature. Mother Nature never did a thing. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Mother Nature is God. And when people start saying Mother Nature, sometimes I'll correct them. You mean God? Or they'll say Mother Nature, and I'll respond with, yeah, isn't it amazing what God has done? I'm not trying to zing anything. I'm just trying to bring people back to the light. Because you never know when you're going to meet someone who's in the twilight, who could be brought back to the light, who knows there's a God, who wants to serve God, but the culture's not helping anymore. Excuse me, it's not helping at all anymore. So the strong emotions of those in the light: giving thanks always for all things. Health, technology, medical science, everything that's in our world. An airplane that can take us places. A phone, a telephone that we can call people. These are incredible things that you couldn't even imagine. How could man do that? Well, he couldn't. If God hadn't created the elements and if God hadn't given us a mind, animals can't do this. And that's all we would be if there were no God. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't exist at all if there were no God. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I think that's the key. That's the barometer. That's the speedometer. That's the temperature gauge. That's what tells us where we are. If you're not thanking God for all things, always, if we are not continually offering the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to His name, then our senseless heart is darkening. Another way to put it, everything we have is from God. And as Jesus, after He heals the 10 lepers, and one of them comes back and says, thank you, and He says, where are the 9? I don't want to be one of the 9. So as long as our thoughts and emotions are here, bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank Him. Every good and perfect gift has come down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow that is cast by turning. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Simple. Simple passage. Profound. all-encompassing. There's nothing in this world. Anything you can see in this building, God made. And yes, we had the ability to reform it, to make it something so pleasant to us. Can you imagine in Malawi, we preach in the dark. And maybe somebody has a flashlight. Maybe they don't. They don't have the light, so sometimes they're preaching, but they don't have a Bible because they can't read it. They're just quoting. It's an amazing thing to watch these people as they adapt. Then I come home and I say, it's just incredible. We flip a light whenever we want. We can make coffee whenever we want. We just flip a switch. We can get hot water. They have to go out and build a fire, boil the water, and wait for it to be boiled. They have to go to the stream or to somewhere else to get the water. They don't have water piped into their house. And I'm not trying to make any comparisons here. I'm just saying that when you get out of our culture and you see what we have here, you're more grateful to God. So the heavens declare the glory of God. I see them. I see them in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Every morning when I get up, I go outside and pray. First I read my Bible, then I pray. And I'm always looking at the stars. Or the sunrise. Sunrise is so beautiful. And sometimes I have to stand up, turn around. Normally I'm sitting down with my back to the sun. But when I see the sun reflecting in the window, I get up and look, and I'll just praise God. It's so beautiful. You made that. You are an artist beyond anything we can comprehend. We can't miss that. We can't go through life missing that. Our worship on the first day of the week is just an extension of what we've been doing all week. We've been praising Him and glorifying Him and thanking Him and honoring Him and the fruit of praise, and we have been giving Him this glory, and we've been singing these wonderful songs and hymns. And when we come here on the first day of the week, we're not generating emotions. We're just letting them out. They're already there. We're making melody because that's how we feel. And truly, His invisible attributes are clearly seen through the things that are made. Oh Lord, my God, when I an awesome wonder. How great You are. How great Thou art. And of course, as knowledge grows, so does awe. The telescope, the microscope, the camera have increased our understanding. We can see everything in the world. We can watch a video on the Arctic. We can watch a video on the tropics. We can watch a video on rainforests. We can watch videos on mammals, on reptiles, on stars and astronomy. And you just reach the point where your mind wants to explode at the greatness of God. And then what do they say? Isn't this amazing to watch Mother Nature? And I feel like Lot sometimes. It just vexes my soul to see how much God could be glorified if they would bring it to Him, but they don't. National Geographic, amazing things. From microscopic to gigantic. I love it when they go down to the bottom of the ocean and they show us what lives down there. And you look at those things and you think to yourself, God is amazing. I mean, no one's ever going to see this, but here it is down here. And we took this light and we went down there and we got a picture of it. And some of those things are creepy. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but go home and look that up sometime. Life under the ocean, deep in the ocean. As we go under the sea, I've already talked about that. Beauty, symmetry, complexity, diversity. Mother Nature, not a chance. This is God. And we need to bring God our service, our glory, our praise, and our disappointments that we've fallen so far short. Because God should be receiving the glory here. If not from the people in darkness, at least from those of us in the light. There is so much more that we know than anybody in the first century knew. Because of cameras, because of satellites, because of the ability to record what other people have seen so we can see it. Used to be all you could do was hear what they were saying. But Satan has come up with a way to short-circuit it. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. I think we saw a lot of this. I think evolution was introduced into the school sometime after 1900. And the period from 1900 until 2000, if you look at what sociologists are saying, if you go back and look at the history and you look at how the country looked at things, you start to see a gradual shift. Now, not with everybody. There have always been atheists. There have always been agnostics. But for the most part, we had a lot of allies. They knew God. But they stopped glorifying as God. And the futility of their thoughts and their folly in their hearts led them into the darkness. That's kind of where we are right now. The schools are really, I don't think, a safe place to send your children anymore. There's so many terrible things going on in the schools. Teachers who have the right. I read an article this morning about one of the politicians who said, I think it's stupid to think that parents should have any say at all in how their children are educated. I looked at that. How far have we come that people could actually say that and still get elected? Instead of giving God the glory, it just evaporates. Because science attributes it all to nature. Nature is the personification of all natural facts and forces. Instead of who did this, we don't even have to think about that. It's just nature. Don't worry about it. There's no life after death. There's no God. There's no consequences. We're the top of the food chain. We're the highest there's ever been or ever can be. Don't worry about anything. Just live your life, and we're seeing it played out all around us. But nature, literally, is an idol without an image. It's a god that's not a god. But it does everything God does. But it takes all the pent-up glory and thanks and honor and service, and it's gone. There's no one to give it to. You see this beauty. Oh, my. Isn't Mother Nature amazing? And then it's gone. So they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image. Not a graven one. Just a concept in the mind that is leading men away from God's glory. And so we live among people in the darkness, people in the light, and people in the twilight. We're looking for the people in the twilight because people in the twilight can be brought into the light. The people who are in the darkness, as John says, they hate the light. They don't want to come to the light. They don't want there to be a God. And that's why they're so happy to have a shield. And when you try to pierce that shield, they get really angry because they don't want there to be a God. They hate the concept of God. So the 21st century to suppress the truth. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, because God has shown it to them. On the judgment day, there will be no excuse. God will be able to take each one of us back to that pivotal moment where we made the decision not to go any further in our quest to God, but to hide behind the darkness in our culture of evolution, in other cultures, idols. The wrath of God is revealed. He must be very angry with America right now, because we are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And the ungodliness and unrighteousness of man in our culture today. It's not as bad as Noah's day yet, but I'd say we're a lot closer now than we were 15, 20 years ago. I don't know which way direction it's going to go. That's the interesting thing about man. You see a pendulum and it's going here and you think, oh, it's just going to spin. And then all of a sudden it swings right back again. So we can hope for that and we can pray for that. But the end, the goal of this suppression, who forgives all your iniquities? There are no iniquities. There's no such thing as sin. It's just choices. And we need to allow people to make their own choices Don't try to influence your children. Let them grow up and make their own choices. Who heals all your diseases? The doctor. The doctor does, and Mother Nature. Who redeems your life from destruction? Insurance. I mean, let's face it, Brent, that's where we are right now. Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Nature. All the glory, thanks and praise and adoration and service that should go to God has been supplanted by those who would suppress the truth in unrighteousness and ungodliness. So, how are they going to succeed? They seek to remove God from His creation. And we have to learn to fight that. We have to talk about God. Now, I'm never going to use the word nature or Mother Nature. I hate it. I hate that term. It's a visceral thing to me because it has caused so many people to turn their backs on God and to forget God. And they have brought this nation to its knees. And they are going to push this nation into complete destruction if they just keep going the way they're going. And you say, how can that be? How could it be any different? We saw it with Egypt. We saw it with Israel. We saw it with Assyria, with Babylon, with Greece, with Rome. And it just keeps on going. And it may come here. And it's all based on one thing, knowing God. They glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. So here we have God's material creation and the light. And here we have man's suppression of the truth and the darkness, and here we are in the middle. Most of the people we talk to, they're in truth suppression, they're in darkness. Most of the television programs we watch, they're in truth suppression and darkness. The news, politics, even religion, because most of religion today, sadly, I mean, the whole basis behind the days in Genesis chapter 6 or chapter 1 are not 24-hour periods. The whole purpose of that, sad to say, is to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Evolution is true. You know, any person who says, I'm a Christian and I believe in evolution, they're already in the darkness. That's ridiculous. Did God use evolution? No. Jesus said that it was in the beginning that Adam and Eve were created. He ought to know He did it. So those who no longer think of God as creator and no longer feel the need to thank Him. So where are we? Are we in the light? Are we in the twilight? Are we in the darkness? It's real simple. When you get up in the morning, who do you thank? If you don't thank anybody, you're in the twilight. Should I say the twilight zone? You're in the twilight, not in the light. If you're in the light, bless the Lord, O my soul, giving thanks always for all things. The fruit of lips, giving thanks to His name continually. That's what people in the light are doing. And I hope that's what all of us are doing. Because if it's not, our senseless heart might become darkened. You say, well, that can't happen to me. Look at how many people we've known that it has happened to. Don't think that it can't happen to you. These people are wise. They're crafty. Not only do they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, but then they start creating doctrines where you don't have to stay with a person that you don't love anymore. And if you like someone of the same sex, you don't have to feel bad about that. And if you, I mean, we could just go on and on and on. If you need to steal, then it's okay to steal. And we shouldn't put people in prison. Prisons are a bad place. Nobody should go there. Well, anyway, I'll get off of that. Let's open our songbooks to number 287. And ask this simple question. Do we want to die with the world or do we want to live with God eternally? Do we want to glorify God now so that He will glorify us on the last day? Jesus said, I will proclaim your name before my Father in heaven if you profess me before men. As we sing the song, if there's anyone in the audience who realizes that things are amiss, you need to go home and make some changes. because this is a cancer, and it will eat like gangrene. So as we sing the song, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to make a change, either come forward confessing sin or obey the gospel and become a Christian, we invite you to come while we together stand singing.